Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the Free Odyssey app.
Today, as you know, we did something with respect to Venezuela. You heard about that. And that will be quite important. We'll be announcing some additional tariffs over the next few days, having to do with automobiles, cars, and having also to do a little bit with lumber down the road, lumber and chips. We're going to get all those chip companies coming back.
So that's President Donald J. Trump ahead of this, the 11th week in office, and focusing on what President Trump has called Liberation Day in America, talking about the tariffs. I glanced up CNN, big, bold, all capital headlines, Trump's tariff bet. So to learn more about this, let's bring in Stephen Moore on President Trump's economic agenda. Stephen Moore, of course, longtime economic advisor to President Trump, visiting fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Stephen Moore, great to have you here. Good morning.
Thanks so much for having me, boy. So much going on. By the way, Liberation Day is really when we get the tax cut passed. That's what we need to do. That should be the highest priority right now. But, you know, I have to say, this is a president. I don't always agree with him on the tariffs, but, you know, what he's doing on deregulation, what he's doing on terms of dismantling massive waste and fraud in the government, what he's doing on the pro-American energy stuff. It's a very solid pro-America, pro-business, pro-investor agenda. So I'm very excited.
And when you see just your take as somebody who's been on the inside of this, when you see all of the media, right, the so-called mainstream media, whether it's CNN, MSNBC, and I'll even say CBS, ABC, NBC, and they all focus on this, the tariffs and what this means. Yeah. What is the impact, do you think, from the reality of what Trump is trying to do and then people's general perception?
Yeah, great point. And the media is so biased here. I mean, they talk about day after day after day is the Trump tariffs and how they're going to ruin the economy. And by the way, I'm not a big tariff guy. I think you know that. I tariffs are taxes. And so I do think Trump has been a little bit off message over the last month, and where every day it's all about, you know, he's talking about his tariffs, not talking about the fact that we've got to prevent a $4 trillion tax increase that the Democrats seem to want at the beginning of next year, the fact that we're doing all the deregulation, a big story in the front page of the Wall Street Journal that no president has deregulated our economy and freed up, costs more than Donald Trump has. But the media is stoking the fires with this and saying, oh, it's all about tariffs. And so we have seen a big sell-off in the market, but I think it's going to come back. I mean, the things that Trump is doing, whether you like tariffs or not, what Trump is doing overall is so positive for the economy. I think I'm not a stock advisor, but I'll say this. You know, given the fact that the market has fallen in the last month or so, if you were to buy stocks today and hold on to them for the next year or two, I think you're going to be very happy.
And so, you know, I know that we're slated to learn more, I guess, on Wednesday, actually. But in your opinion, is this more about, you know, we're hearing these, well, it'll be a 25% tariffs and then different, you know, some different tariff formulas, I guess, for different countries. Will it be a 10% with the Chinese over here? And what about the Canadians and our policy with Mexico? But isn't the bigger picture just exposing the fact that, in general, on a lot of these goods, we pay more, and he's trying to even that out and negotiate or not? I mean, what do you see here?
Well, you know, your question is a good one because it really punctuates why Trump is not doing, the administration is not doing a good job explaining what the plan is here. So one day it's we're going to go after China, and the next day we're going to go after Canada, and the next day we're going to try to save steel jobs, and the next day we're going to have a 15% tariff on, you know, the imported cars. I think it's causing a bit of a disruption of commerce, you know, because from one day to the next, we don't even know April 2nd is, quote, Liberation Day, but we don't know what it is.
Right.
We don't know, what is it, a surprise? So I think we'd be better off if what I would like to see Trump doing is two things. One is China is our enemy. Why are we talking about Canada? Canada is one of our most important allies. We should be aiming our guns literally and figuratively at China, not Canada. Second of all, Trump does have a very good point on this idea of reciprocal tariffs. Do you know what country in the world has the lowest tariffs?
I don't. The lowest?
We do.
Oh
yeah,
okay.
We do. We're the lowest.
Okay.
You know, I mean, there might be one or two, you know, really small, inconsequential countries, but among the 20 largest countries, we have the lowest tariffs. So how is it all these foreign leaders? Trump is causing a trade war. Wait a minute, your tariffs are higher than ours are. So how are we starting a trade war?
Yeah, to make it, and that's the thing when you see the media coverage all over the place, you never hear that question.
I know you don't. And so here's my point, that I think Trump is going to, through the reciprocal tariff approach, I think he's going to force these other countries to lower their tariffs. Because you said it very well just a minute ago. It's not a level playing field, right? We do, our manufacturers and our farmers pay a higher tax when they try to export stuff than their farmers do when they try to bring stuff in the United States. And all Trump is saying, let's have a level playing field. And I think that makes a lot of sense. And I think at the end of the day, he's going to prevail, and we're going to have lower tariffs throughout the world and freer trade and fairer trade. That makes sense. I don't like the auto tariffs. I don't like steel tariffs. Because the problem is, if you put steel tariffs, let me just expand on this. If you put on steel tariffs, you may save some steel jobs, you know, steelmaker jobs in the United States, but you're going to raise the cost of manufacturing for other, you know, products like the auto industry and the construction industry, and you're going to lose jobs there. So I don't think that's a very effective, the protectionist policies I don't think work very well. But overall, I want Trump back on the message of we got to get this tax cut down. We got to keep deregulating the economy. I watched this interview. I don't know if you did, the one with Bret Baier with Elon Musk and his, what I call the Musketeers.
Yeah.
And it's amazing what they're doing. They're finding hundreds and hundreds of billions of dollars of shameful waste and corruption and inefficiency and fraud in our government. And nobody's ever doing anything about it. And then, you know, if I sound angry, I am. And the left, you would think, you know, they believe in good government. They want big government. They believe in. So why are they so mad at Elon Musk for exposing the corruption in our government?
It's bizarre. Imagine, here's the thing that I find most bizarre as somebody from a background of like television news most of my career is that just imagine for a moment that a TV, pick a network, let's say it's NBC News investigative team. Mm-hmm. Imagine, right, if the investigators exposed hundreds of billions of dollars in fraud, they would win every journalistic award,
exactly.
Right? They would be patting themselves on the back and high-fiving, we exposed this fraud. And yet the media, I mean, maybe the lesson here is that the only thing I can think of is maybe they should have brought in somebody from the so-called mainstream media and had them in the journey along with them as an insider.
You know what? That's a great idea. That's a great idea.
Do you know?
You know, I'm going to suggest that to Trump, because what Elon Musk and his guy, and by the way, I watched these guys. I think there were six or seven on the, and people, I urge your listeners to go to that, go on YouTube and watch that interview with Bret Baier interviewing Elon Musk and his six or seven associates. These are heroes. They're patriotic.
Yes.
They don't have anything to gain from this. These are, you know, millionaires and billionaires who are running companies, and they're volunteering their time and their expertise to help discover how we can balance our budget and get rid of the fraud, $150 billion of fraud in the Medicaid. You know, but no one's health is benefited when people steal money from Medicaid or steal money from the unemployment benefit. The fact that we have people who are 125 years old that are still collecting Social Security checks. I mean, come on, that's just complete fraud. People stealing money from the taxpayers. Those people belong in jail. And yet the left is saying, oh, Elon Musk is out of control. How? How is it out of control to tell American people, here's how Washington is taking your money and not getting an honest return on that money you put in? It's one of the highest expenses of a family is what we pay for government. And to learn that half of it is being stolen, that's pretty bad.
Yeah, I think it's terrible. I think it's outlandish. And the fact, like you're saying, nobody's reporting it in that regard. And in fact, making these individuals who will be judged very well by history in the long term, right? Because all these numbers, all this data, it's going to come out. And so it'll be there for full display. But you know what it tells me, Stephen? It tells me that the truth is nobody really wants this to be exposed. Too many people benefit big time. And that's, well, you know,
and by the way, let me add something to this, because I just wrote a column on this, and so I'm glad we're talking about it. So the question is, I've been scratching my head wondering, why is it that the if you watch every single Democrat, whether it's, you know, Chuckie Schumer or any of these, they always start by saying, well, we're all against government waste, but, and then another but. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, wait a minute, they're not against government waste. They've turned a blind eye on this for 30 years, and Republicans are responsible, too, for the waste. They've done nothing. We've had auditing reports. We've had inspector general reports that are telling us that this money is being stolen, and nobody's ever done anything about it until Donald Trump. Well, Reagan tried to do something about it in the early 80s. He got his head handed him. Congress wouldn't accept virtually any of his reforms. Now, 40 years later, Trump is doing it, and the fraud turns out to be 10 times higher than it was when Reagan was president. And I mean, try running a store and you get one third of your money stolen from you. Do you think you can make a profit?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's just it. They're ripping us off. I don't want to let you go without asking you about the automobile industry, Stephen Moore, because that's one thing that we keep hearing, that these tariffs are going to impact, and starting Wednesday, and I'm looking at the stock market today, that we are going to see an issue where cars are going to cost more money. And so used cars especially become more valuable. That's the good news if you want to sell your used car. But what do you see on that front?
Well, a tariff is like a sales tax, right? You know, when a car comes in from Germany or Japan or some other country, you know, you're going to pay more for it. So it is going to lead to higher prices, no question about it. Some of the costs will be borne by the foreign producers, and some of it will be borne by American consumers. But at a time when we're trying to fight inflation, I just don't think this is a good strategy. You know, we tried tariffs and import controls in the late 70s and 80s, you know, when Japan, everybody was worried that Japan's going to take over the entire auto industry. And what we discovered was with the tariffs, all we did was we rewarded inefficiency. I believe American companies can compete and can win, but we shouldn't be subsidizing them. And we're not losing auto jobs in the United States, by the way. We're losing them in these forced union states. That's why when the union president says, oh, these are so great. Wait a minute. It's the fact that you have these, you know, forced union policies in the states. You want to know where the auto industry is in today? It's in South Carolina. It's in Texas. It's in Tennessee. It's in Alabama where, you know, and I'm not anti-union, but I am very dramatically against and adamantly against forcing a worker against their will to join a union. I think everybody should. This is a free country. If you want to join the union, you should be able to. If you don't want to, you shouldn't be forced to do it. And that's what's going on, is that these union reps who've ruined the auto industry are now basically, you know, acting as if they're the saviors when they're not. They're the ones who've really hurt our job. I believe we can have a vibrant auto industry in the United States because we're number one in innovation. We have the best workers in the world. But I don't know if tariffs is the right way to do it.
Stephen, our executive producer, Dan Borowski, had a question.
I just got to ask you, Stephen, I got to tell you, out of anybody that knows economics, there's no one I trust more than you. And over the weekend, my wife and I, we actually went to a couple dealerships and we almost bought a car because we're really in the need for a used car. So I just got to ask, should we have this kind of on our shoulders, we kind of feel an immediacy to get this done before these tariffs go into action? Or do you think there's do you think there's going to be a timetable here a couple months before the tariffs reflect on the prices? If someone's buying buying a car right now, a used car, do you say they should pull the trigger or wait? Where do you stand?
That's a tough question. I would say my impulse is to say I would try to buy a car quickly because I don't know how long these tariffs will last. And, you know, if you put a 15% tariff on a car, you're maybe looking at a 10% increase in the cost of that car when you, you know, go to a dealership or where you buy something, you know, online. So I would say try to get ahead of the tariffs and buy quickly before the tariffs take hold.
Thank you, sir.
But do you think, is this locked? I mean, he's to announce this on Wednesday, right?
This is the problem. Nobody knows, right? I mean, I can't get in. I love this president. I wrote the book, The Trump Economic Miracle. I mean, he is an amazing businessman. Everything he does is for the good of the country. But I think in this case, I think he's gone too far with the tariffs. And we should be talking about ways through deregulation and tax cuts and more efficiency in government and dismantling all the inefficient agencies, how we're going to make by the way, energy policies. I mean, let's get back to drill, baby, drill and all these things that will make America number one across the board. And that will happen. I think Trump's going through a little rough patch right now, but I'm proud of this president. I agree with 80 to 90% of the things he does. And I'm just a little bit uneasy about the tariffs. But I think he's going to, in the end of the day, I think he's going to win. Mm-hmm. He's going to get concessions from these other countries. And we're going to end up with freer and fairer trade. And I think the economy is going to boom.
Great prediction. I suspect that Wednesday, we'll see what the announcement is, you know, because I think he listens not just to Stephen Moore, but he, you know, this president is known for putting out ideas like this and taking the pulse constantly. So I feel like, you know, it might not be as hard and fast as the headlines, you know, claim it is.
I'll say this on the way out. You know, he is Donald Trump, because I've been around him a lot, folks. He is the single best negotiator I've ever met in my life. So he's going to negotiate the best deal he can for the American worker and the American businesses. And in the end, it's going to work out.
Thank you. I love your optimism. Stephen Moore, thank you.
Have a great morning.
As always, you too. Take care.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.